All right, Tamida Akolo there with the song Great Nation. It's a song that you want to sing, a song you want to listen to, especially on a day like this, a day like yesterday. You know, waking up to news that several Nigerians were killed and abducted by terrorists while on the journey from Abuja to Kaduna. My name is Eno Ogbedire, we're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. Good morning.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for tuning in. This is where we have the region's biggest conversation, and we're talking security this morning, the Kaduna attack. For those who may not know, there was another attack yesterday at a train station. Public affairs analyst Achike Chude joins me via the phone this morning. Good morning, Achike. How are you? Hello?
Hello.
Good morning, Achike.
Yeah, your line is not exactly clear. Maybe network issues, so I'm just struggling to discern what you're saying.
Okay, I said good morning.
Oh. Yeah, good morning.
Okay, yeah. All right. So, I'm sure you also woke up to the news the way the rest of us in Nigeria woke up to it, that there had been an attack on a Kaduna-bound train. Recall that that same incident happened, according to Shehu Sani, the same location in 2021. But for those who may not know, there's a report that says last week, Thursday and Friday, a military team went to some enclave to destroy cattle and a settlement, really. And the first line of action that we saw, we didn't see the one that the military did, you know, of course, but what we saw was the Abuja, the Kaduna Airport attack on Saturday morning, or was it afternoon? So I think they had gone there in the morning in the first instance, but they were repelled. And they returned to the airport in the afternoon, and that's when they killed a NAMA official. That was also before the military returned to, you know, fix the situation there. Achike, are you here now? Can you hear me?
Slightly better, but go on.
Okay. So I said the first thing that we heard was an attack on the Abuja airport, the Kaduna airport on Saturday. I'm sure you also heard that one. So a place like the airport, the first thing that comes to mind is how is it that they're able to access the airport? There was a video that was circulating initially, but it turned out that that was another video from another location sometime before that. But it also means that if they can gain access to that section, the runway now, you know, we know there's always vast land, you know, beside the runway. So if they're able to access the Kaduna International Airport through the runway, it means that anyone who's flying and any aircraft or airline who's flying that route is not safe. And then 2 days later, they're the train, they're the rail track.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to defend what you are saying, but I know you're also talking and making a connection to the attack on the airport, and then the general insecurity, the fact that people find it difficult to travel by land. The air travel used to be the safest, you know, but of course, exclusively for the rich and those who can afford it. And that, in a way, has been compromised by the recent attack at the Kaduna Airport. And then one other one that we had that has been relatively safe is, traveling by train. But let's not forget that we've had the incidences of train attacks in the past, but never to this of this magnitude.
Mm.
And so what it means is that in many parts of the country, you can either move by land, move by train, and then even air travel is becoming a problem. And so what that tells us is that after how many years of, so many years now of trying to fight, whether terrorists or headmen or bandits or whatever you call them, there still continues to be a general a situation of serious insecurity in the country. And but then the question you want to ask yourself is, did anybody not see this happening? And I mean, if the government never anticipated that the trains will be a target for attack, then it means that they were exceedingly very naive, or they didn't, they themselves do not understand how precarious our security situation is. Let's not forget that, I mean, the essence of whether you call them bandits or terrorists. In fact, I want to use the term terrorists for this kind of attack, because we're just hearing that there is a second attack on a train.
Yes.
On that train in the country. The information about that are still very sketchy. That is not the hallmark of bandits. Bandits do not stage uncoordinated attacks. Coordinated attacks. That is what terrorists do. And if you remember, these simultaneous attacks that we started seeing with Boko Haram in the past, where they would bomb a particular place, and then as you are trying to concentrate on that place, another bomb goes off somewhere. That has been the trademark of Boko Haram terrorists, not the trademark of bandits. So we know the reason, or some of us suspect the reason why the government had to look for ways to change the terminology from bandits and terrorists, because they wanted to give the impression that the battle against terrorists had been won. And you can see in the past few days and weeks, they've been telling us about how they have achieved spectacular successes against terrorists and the rest. But whether you change them, you call them terrorists or you call them bandits, what is the outcome? What is their product? The outcome of the activities is death and destruction, burning, looting, raping of women. So it doesn't really matter whether the people doing it are called terrorists or bandits. They are causing instability in the system and causing panic and anger in the minds of Nigerians. And so, then again, even the train routes are even much more dangerous and much more precarious, because a train, while a car moves, in most parts on land spaces that have already opened up. If you are traveling from one part of the country to the other, you get to so many places that are opened up. For trains move in the bushes. They move along, gullies and along valleys and all that. So they remain even more vulnerable to attack once they're able to stop them in their tracks. Mm. It means that the bandits or the terrorists who are laying siege on them can lay siege on them for hours without any help coming to them. I don't know what has happened to our aerial ability. The ability to deploy a quick deployment of aircraft, helicopters, and so on to places of insecurity. I don't know exactly what is happening, but I think the bottom line ultimately is the inability of the government to stem the tide of insecurity in the country. And I don't know, we have talked about it so many times, but you see, maybe it is because of the novelty of the attack on the trains that a lot of Nigerians are responding with a lot of consternation and anxiety and all that. But we must not forget, Eno, that about a week ago, 83, 84 people were killed in southern Kaduna in two separate attacks. The first one killing about 34 people, the other one about 50 people. Now, there is no life on that train that is more precious than the life of the people that were killed in southern Kaduna. And inversely, the same way, there is no life in southern Kaduna lost that's more important than the lives of the people lost on that train. So there seems to be so much noise about the lives lost on the train, which there should be, which there must be. Because every life, like Delegiwa told us, that is lost in an act of violence is like a million lives lost in a pogrom. So it is unfortunate, but maybe, like I said, it is the novelty of the attack on a train, where all manners of people, both rich and poor, have to travel with if they cannot go by air. Perhaps that is why there is so much talk about it. But we must not forget the fact that 84 people died within a few days ago. How can this continue? How do we? And it's not just about the president. It's also about the governor of Kaduna State, who has had affiliations again with some of these bandits and criminals and terrorists. So what he told us himself, that years ago they had to seek out these people to beg them with money, to pay them to stop killing Nigerians. So there are things that sometimes that are going on that are beyond comprehension. And it is sad. It's unfortunate. We can't continue like this. A lot of us, have become so depressed with the almost near meaninglessness of life in Nigeria. But life, we continue to insist, is precious.
All right, so let's talk about the response of the government. You know, at Chike, till now, we're not certain how many people were on that train, how many people were taking. They've just been able to tell us that 7 people, I think it's been updated to 8, were killed. But I'd like to take some calls or comments at this time. 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. Some believe that our security chiefs and personnel are overwhelmed. Some believe that it's a question of lack of intelligence. I mean, if they attacked the airports, and I think Azman Airlines said they're no longer flying the Kaduna, you know, route anymore for now. So if they attacked the airports, the only natural thing for anyone who's thinking is to realize that they would channel their anger or their attacks somewhere else. All right, I'll take a few calls. We'll get back to Chicken in a bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, you're on.
My name is Marco, calling from Wajir. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so the issue has to do with Nigeria being under police. Now, I've traveled that train at least 4 times. And I noticed something. There's just one or two armed policemen walking from coach to coach. That will definitely not be enough to escort a train that is carrying all manner of over 1,000 people. Number two, you ask yourself, how many helicopters does the entire Nigerian police force have to provide air cover for a train? That would be too expensive to handle for Nigerian police. So what happens to drones that will give real-time reports on the movement of this train? Number three, why have we not seen the manifest of that train? Ticket racketeering is the job of everybody in the Idu train station and Rigata in Kaduna. You go there, they tell you that the train is fully booked, only for somebody to turn around and give you a black market ticket. And then you get on board and you are seeing empty seats. And they are picking people along the track. In lonely places.
Really?
Yes. I've traveled that train four times. Even this last year, September. They stop at odd places, very lonely stations with little or no security for 6 passengers.
So hold on, sir. So I don't know what coach you were in, but do they have security men on board the trains?
They are security men, right? But they are concentrated in the VIP.
And it was the VIP that was hit this time. That's what one of the survivors said. That they went straight to the VIP coach.
Yeah, see, if you get to Idu train station in Abuja, every time a train is about to depart, you're going to see general, all kinds of high-ranking personalities in Nigeria, especially those from the north, banging either their family or themselves. You will see generals or mufti to tell you how scared they are of traveling.
Oh, wow.
Yes, you go to Rigata in Kaduna or Idu train station in Abuja, you're going to see generals and their families in mufti. And then they come with armed security people who will escort them also in mufti. But the general one for everybody, just like the Abuja Port Harcourt train. I've traveled the Abuja Port Harcourt train once or twice when it was working. You only see 2 police officers to close to 1,000 people.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned costs. If we say that they should put more officers on the train, do we even have the numbers? Does the nation have the manpower to match that?
No, the issue is there are a lot of security bridges on that track. That's the point I'm trying to make. I mentioned the fact that it is under police. Now you are hearing that there were nearly 1,000 people on that train. How many policemen were on board to repel any kind of attack?
Number two,
like a sharing does not make it easy for you to know who is coming on board and who is going down.
Yes. So they could even have informants.
Why any media have to show me the manifest of that train? Why don't we have the exact number?
The government hasn't released it, sir. Once they do, we'll share it. All right.
The line is waiting.
Okay. Thank you for calling. That commercial that plays around this time on the Crossfire would play now. What I was saying to you, sir, was that the government hasn't released it because, and I think they are trying to manage the information, because once they release it, we will see exactly how many people were on that train. And if they say 8 died or 7, yeah, and 25 were in hospital, that was the figure that yesterday. So that's less than 50. So where are the other people? Oh, there are survivors, of course. Oh, there were survivors. Some people were evacuated by the military. Where are those people? So these answers would need to be provided by the Nigerian military or security forces. The commercial will play and we'll keep talking. I will reconnect with Achike Chude via the phone. My name is Enoch Baviri. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Thank you for staying tuned. Achike Chude joins me again via the phone. Let's hope it's better now. Achike, hi, how are you? Can you hear me? Uh-huh. So it's clearer through the box, right? Okay, but you... Okay, let's...
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was asking before, you know, the connection just, you know, went very bad. About the manifest, we are yet to see the government say anything about or release the manifest... to show those who are on the train. We hear that the train carries about 1,000 passengers. 8 have been confirmed dead. So we have 8 confirmed dead, 20-something in the hospital, and some survivors, yes. Some people were unhurt. Some people were hurt, but there were lots of survivors. But there were people that were taken too by the terrorists.
Yeah, well, hello. Yes, you know the president, says he's quite distressed with what has happened, and you can also see that there has been a quick response from the part of the government, the service chiefs, the trade service chiefs, with the man in charge of, I think, the with DSS, and then the Inspector General of Police. The full echelon of the Nigerian Security Services went to see the president on the matter. You know, and the president was telling them to put in place, to implement in place the processes they had been working on, the security processes for such a situation. So if there was a process, perhaps they had not completed it, and the president is trying to get them to expedite action, you know, on that. But then the question we ask ourselves is if there is, you know, a process that they need to put in place, for instance, what process are they putting in place for the people of Southern Kaduna who are also being killed? About 8 people are reputed to have lost their lives with over about in this attack, 8 people with over about maybe 15 people kidnapped. Then about 41 Nigerians injured in the process. Like I said, 84 people have died in about a week in Southern Kaduna. What process has the government put in place? Where is the high-profile attention, you know, that is being given to the people of Southern Kaduna? And I'm not trying to downplay what has happened over this, train attack. It is every attack, every loss of life, every threat to life is of equal importance. But if we're having this kind of response by the government, which is a good thing if that is the case, can the government also put that kind of response in place for Southern Kaduna? Because as we are here now, some of us are, expecting, based on what is going on, that in the next few days there'll be much more people again, or more people will be killed in that part of the country, as well as other parts of the country. So I am not convinced, with all due respect to the office of the president. I am not. I think it is just words, and words. He needs to be able to put his money, where his mouth is. It's not about platitudes. It's not about telling us what you are going to do. Tell us what you have done. And how come? I know at a time But they were at the initial stage when we had this, you know, case of terrorist attacks on the trains. And some of them were being, some of the train rides were being accompanied from Abuja to the Kaduna or Kaduna to Abuja by helicopters and all that. Now we are no longer seeing it. So what is going to happen? How are you going to keep? So what are the security initiatives, for instance, that the president is talking about? The scorecard of the president when it comes to the issue of security is exceedingly very poor in the country. You know, right now, I mean, the results are there for people to see. The number, the hundreds and thousands of people that have been killed since he came to power. And so there is nothing new he's going to tell us, except that we see a cessation of the killings that are going on in the country. Then we know, yes, that the president is actually doing his work, or a rapid reduction in the number of deaths. They have been telling us all this while what they have been able to achieve with the Boko Haram terrorists and all that. But as I said, look, they're just playing on words. The terrorists are still, Boko Haram is still active in the country, whether you call them, you know, bandits or terrorists. But the reality is that when bandits are doing the work of terrorists, then what are you going to call them? You call them terrorists. So that means that terrorists are still very much active. So I hope that whatever measure the president is talking about, that this measure will succeed, because when he succeeds, our people will be safer, and we want him to succeed. But it's not just about the trains, it's also about the people in Southern Kaduna and other parts of the country that are going through all kinds of trauma and insecurity. You know, so, I mean, I don't know how they're going to. Are they going to vote? Again, they know what they're talking about. They must know what they're talking about. The security measure the president is talking about. Is it going to involve helicopters? Is it going to involve? I don't know.
Yeah, but at what cost, Achike?
The planes should quickly be allowed. I mean, the trains should quickly be allowed to return back to normalcy. Mm. I mean, the operations.
Yeah, but at what cost? At what cost? Achike, can you hear me?
I'm trying, but it's slightly better.
Okay, so I'm asking at what cost. A caller that I was speaking to before, you know, we reconnected, said that he'd been on that train a few times, that they have a few police escorts, but you do, of course, usually in the VIP section. And we have trains all over the country. So are we going to just focus on Abuja and the Lagos-Ibadan rail? What happens to other Nigerians?
About what cost, really? Of course, yes. To hear you, but I mean, if the government, look, there is no amount of money that you can put, you know, to ensure the security of a nation, that will be too much. So whatever it is that the government needs to do, they need to, you know, make sure that they have the right kind of resources for that. And then again, people have talked about the deployment of drone technology. What kind of technology are they using in terms of confronting the security challenges in the country? And again, if they also, I mean, they must have an idea of the number of people that staged that attack. Does it mean that for each, I mean, time that the trains will be moving, you know, along the railway track, that they will have a significant number of security personnel on board? So these are some of the issues, you know, so that they could protect the people. I don't know. Again, like I said, they say they have, the president says that they have a specific security measure. Let us see how that is going to, you know, help. He said some time ago that he doesn't want to be disgraced out of power by bandits. He doesn't want to leave a failure. So far, from what we're seeing, the president is moving towards being a very serious failure in governance in the country, especially when it comes to security. But he still has a few months to be able to do something significant, hopefully to crush, you know, or to deal with the insecurity in the country, thereby saving his reputation. Otherwise, the prediction he made, kind of indirect prediction he made, won't succeed with the bandits and the terrorists humiliating him as president of this country. So we hope it doesn't happen.
All right. Thank you, Achike. I have to let you go because, I mean, clearly you can't hear me.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Public affairs analyst Achike Chude, who joined me via the phone from Lagos. 0817-923-0002. Good morning.
Good morning, my sister. God bless you. God bless you, my sister.
Thank you.
This is Fred Michael calling from Ukoro.
All right.
Want to consult with the family of the people that got an accident at the train.
Are we attacked?
And the Minister of Transportation, want to consult with them, please. So government is going to do something about that place. I want them to send security to that environment. The Kaduna, Abuja Highway. As the way they did it, I know Goni. They did Goni on Tata Court about this expressway. They should send security over there to guide, and they should use the, at least a chopper to be flying, to escorting the train, please, so that the Minister of Transportation and work will not go in vain.
All right.
Please, after the attack from the enemy to destroy the handwork of the Minister of the Honorable Minister of Transportation, right from the Speaker Mechi. So I want them to send security, more security, focus security in that environment.
Mm. But you see, there are attacks going on in other parts of the country, even in the north east. So what happens to those villages that are, you know, usually attacked? Kaduna seems to be the hotbed these days. Good morning.
Yeah, no, good morning.
Yes, you're on.
No, I heard you asking your guests where they will get men to man those areas. And no, if you go to some banks, if you go to some IOCs, you would think it's a new military barracks. They just sit down there, play draft, do some other stuff, and that's all. Carry these people to those areas that are odd. That Kaduna has been up till now, and this is happening. Almost took over airport, attack a rail line, kill people, adopt people, and we are looking for men, men that are all over the road collecting money for people, and we don't see them. No, now and no. Please let them do check, and at the end, they will see good men from the people around now. Why should one man get 10, 15, 20 policemen? Do you know that even the civil defense right now are even doing bodyguard work? You remember what Governor Wike said, that they are even involved in the proper business, which is true? This one of them, that they have smoking for us, you're telling us they don't have men. Who said we don't have them? Thank you.
All right. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Nigeria.
Yes, you're on.
This is that proof from our pocket. So, they are now kidnapping, killing people, bandits, and all sorts of things. Why we have an Nigerian police? What they are specialized to do, bunkers, collecting the police work where they were applied for, blocking roads, collecting 100 naira. They don't have for any other things in this country again. For me, I want to inform the IG of Commissioner, or IG of the police, to take those who are doing, most of them are not doing police work, specialized in doing bunkers. That's what police are doing. That is why you see most of crime happening in this country. They are not after their work again. So let the president sit up and know what to do for those people. Take the risk from our pocket.
All right, thank you for calling on WhatsApp. We have messages. This one reads... all the negative words about this country is worth it. An entire city was wiped in the Hiroshima bombing, and there was a list of names for casualties. Here in 2022, a simple manifesto of travelers on a train can't be provided. I'm doubting if we're actually humans or something else. Frank and Rumokurusi. Vivian Ovuru is tired of hearing about killings every day. Good morning. Hello?
Hello. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. My name is Samuel. I'm calling you from Romo Calabo. Let me look at this thing this way. I will always say that I think I didn't see, for didn't my, maybe when we are small, we know that maybe army don't used to come out on the street or stand on the road. There is only police that stand on the road. The duty of army, maybe when there is war or there is anything maybe disturbing the country, maybe that is when the federal executive will now call the army to maybe to go and take over the place. But this time around, the case is revised here, you know. Now you see army walking all over the streets of the whole country, harassing people. They stop the duty of they're supposed to do, the life and property they're supposed to protect, me and you. They are now walking up and down, collecting money everywhere on the streets of the Nigeria as a whole, on the roads of the Nigeria. They are main work they're supposed to do. They refuse to do it. Because when the army is there, this thing will not be happening at the Kaduna. You see, look at the airport. When they came to the airport to attack the airport, we have ministry, we have the army, we have the airport, everything here. Then we call ourselves, we say that Buhari is the ex-general. The ex-general, is this a title? That is my question.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, you're on.
Why do Nigerians always wait for these bandits to attack us? Is it that we don't have good men who have all this normal technology for intelligence reports? It's just like in America, if something wants to happen, before the terrorists land, they are aware of it, and they will counter them. And again, we don't need to always wait for these people to come and attack us. Get surveillance reports where they are, and go there and get them done. If you have to release 2,000 armies to go there and finish this work once and for all, why not do it? Why should we wait for them to always come and attack us and kill people? I don't know. Please. Stop firing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Mr. Adal, good morning.
You're welcome.
Hello, let me take your mind. So the past information we got, that was in 2020. But there was bank robbery in India. And their national satellite caught those people. And from that satellite, they picked all of them where they ran to. And now, why can't we have that in this country? So the monitoring is activity, even those that are inside the water. Can't we have it in this country so that the satellite will show us the bushes that the Boko Haram fighters are and their position? It will feel like going to pick them like oranges that fell on the ground. To pick them. It is very unfortunate. By the information, this railway attack lasted for hours without any interruption. See, the attempt to give destination to the Taliban, like Afghanistan, it is nothing that will take place this year. Because I don't see how people will be being killed. People are killed in their hundreds. People are killed in their thousands. The very basis here, and the citizen cannot talk. The government cannot talk. No human being will talk. Well, let them wait until when every person will be affected. Thank you, Madam Eno.
Well, everybody hopes not everyone will be affected, but the truth is, until everyone is safe, no one is safe. I'm reading a tweet by Aisha Yesufu. She says that when the top echelon, when they get into the trains, that there's helicopter surveillance. So she's saying that it's a different kettle of fish when the people are the ones taking the trains. Because here's Transportation Minister Chibike Amaechi saying that they had, you know, ordered or written for, you know, approval of 3 billion naira worth of equipment, and that was yet to be approved. Of course, the president has said that they should, you know, get it done. But did we have to wait for this? Now, Air Peace, I'm seeing online, on TV rather, that Air Peace has also stopped travel to Kaduna Airport. So we have Air Peace, we have Azman, who's left? So the train stations, if people can't get to their destinations using the train, they don't feel safe on the roads, then what happens? And then we have airlines saying we're no longer going to fly those routes. Well, we'll keep our eyes at the federal level to see what will be said. Update on that matter. Don't forget, there was another attack on a train still in Kaduna at a train station yesterday. My name is Enoa Gweviri. Thank you for your time. Good morning.